Over the last several weeks, we have really been dealing with wanting to have the best year possible. And it's humorous and sad all at the same time, because I deal with people all the time. That's what I do. My business and my work is in people. And I meet people who can grasp the concept of how God works. And I know the last couple of weeks of this sermon series has been more difficult, because we've talked about our life as far as you've got a timeline on your life, and you better make the most of it while you've got it, because you will punch the time card one day, and you'll give an account to God, and all the stuff that you've collected and all the stuff you've got isn't going to really matter a whole lot on this side. And so I know that sounds hard, but this is how people think who are successful. I want you to understand, God wants you to be successful on this side, in this world. But if you don't have the ability to let go of things, then you'll never be successful. I used to love the show Storage Wars. Anybody ever watch those shows, Storage Wars? And it's funny to me, because certain guys show up there, and what it does is it tests you. Because if you've never seen the show, it's basically this. There's storage units that if you don't pay on them for 3 months, they'll foreclose on those storage units. Whatever's in them, you lose them, and they auction them off. Well, this show is about several different groups that have little stores and thrift shops that bid on these certain units. And some of them are more risk takers. One's called the gambler. One's called in different ways. And so what it's about is these guys open this thing up. They all get to look in it. You can't go in it. You can't see what's in it. You can take a flashlight. You can take whatever, and you can look inside, and you guess at what you think might be in it, or how much value's in it. They try to judge the furniture. They try to judge this. And the other day, it was one that was really, talked about, and it was a memorabilia store that had closed. A guy, they said, this guy collects baseball cards, he collects posters, he's collected all this stuff. And so they show up at this unit, and they were all excited about it, and they were talking, and they got the bidding on it. And one guy said, let's just quit playing around, you know, $2,000. And so that just knocked a lot of people out. And then they went up to $5,000, $7,000, $10,000. And then it went on up, and this one unit, they're all sitting there looking at it, and it got to $11,000, $12,000. $13,000 for this one unit. That sounds like a lot of money. $13,000. In fact, it was two guys left, and they're both looking in there, and the one said, $13,500. And the other one looked over at his wife and said, I didn't bring any more. Because the thing is, you've got to have the cash on hand. He said, I didn't bring any more. He lost that unit for $13,500. You would say, he saved $13,500. No. By the end of the show, they showed this guy took several things to different places. He had already done and estimated the other stuff. He made out of that unit $45,000 once he sold the stuff that's in it. Now, you don't feel bad for him now, do you? He just, if you'd have said, look, in 2 hours, if you can take $13,000 and I'll give you $45,000, would you go find $13,000 somewhere? Yeah. But see, this is the mindset that God has, because God is an investor. And that's what I want to speak on today. We've talked about this mindset of tithing as New Testament. And in that, he's trying to really, and I don't mean this in a bad way, he's trying to force your hand into giving something so that he can bless you to some degree. In tithing, it's an automatic. It's like, look, we're not talking about this. I want to bless you. 10% is it. But you find people that are blessed of God, and 10%, the guy that owns Chick-fil-A gives 50% of what he has every single check. He's done that ever since he had a small chicken thing. They're closed on Sunday. He don't even open it on Sunday. It's one of the most successful businesses around. Why? Because he understands the concept that God is an investor. God is an investor. What if he just said, you know, I'm just going to give 10%. It's all I got to give. You can't make me give no more. And nobody, no. Nobody's going to make you. You have a timeline on the investments that you have. And now today we want to deal with this mindset. Either I'm going to have a storage war, I'm going to collect stuff, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to have a mindset that I am going to be an investor. One of the new projects we'll have going into the new building is we'll have kingdom investors. Somebody had said, well, what's the building program going? I said, well, it won't be building program anymore. It'll be kingdom investors. And we'll have cards that simply, that's all it is. We'll pick a project each year, and you can invest if you want to. One year, we're going to try to get as much done, but one year may be finishing the parking lot on the other side and saying, you know what, you're investing. If you want to invest in the kingdom this year, that's what all that is going for. And it's just kingdom investors. You say, well, is this accurate? Well, go with me to Matthew 25, and I want to show you how Jesus would talk to His disciples about His kingdom. His kingdom. Now, for you that haven't been with us, we're glad to have you. And I'll just go ahead and kind of jump you off on the deep end. We do want all your money. Thought I'd let you know that. That way, when you leave and somebody says, all the preachers want is, you can just say, hey, that preacher said all he wants is all my money. But now here's the way I'll make a deal with you, and I've made this deal with everybody in the church. Anybody, you know, I still haven't had nobody take me up on it. But I'll make a deal with you right here. You just go ahead and figure out how much you're worth. If you sold your house, car, everything you're worth, and I want you to write me that check. I want you to write me that check. And here's the deal I'll make with you. I'm going to keep it up in the office, and I will never cash that check until the day you quit church. But the day you quit church, I'm going to cash that check. I won't have to worry about calling you on Saturday. I won't have to worry about whether you're going to come to church or not. You know why? Because you're invested. And whatever you're invested in, if you're invested in a boat, you'll look at your wife on a Sunday morning, you'll say, look, I ain't going to church with you, I'm going fishing with you. Why? Because I got $40,000 sitting in the yard. You think I'm going to go to a church and give $10 and listen to some preacher I don't care about when I got $40,000 rotting in a yard? No, it's what you're invested in. All I'm saying is, whatever you're invested in, that's going to be, it's going to be your life. It's just the way it is. That's the way the kingdom works. That's the way our lives work. That's the way God made us. In this book of Matthew 25 and verse 14, this is how Jesus begins to describe this. For the kingdom of heaven, look at that person beside you and say, Pastor Lot's not lying to you. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Just go ahead and tell them. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Now, this is not me saying this. This is Jesus saying this. So if he was standing in the pulpit today and they would say, tell us about the kingdom. Tell us about streets of gold. Tell us about when we get to heaven. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like this right here. It's like a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now, that doesn't sound anything like the heaven I heard about or the kingdom. But when you hung around, if you ever hang around Jesus, we talked about almost 25% of the time His talking was about money, finances, kingdom. When He talked about the kingdom, He could not separate it from talking about your money. Why? Because they are utterly connected. And when He's talking to the disciples here about His kingdom, He says, once again, let me bring it up to you this way. The kingdom of heaven is like this. It is like a man who owned a great deal or a great amount. We know that God owns the entire world. He owns everything. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns our very next breath. He owns everything that we have. And He says, you know what? I'm going away. I'm going away and I'm going to leave an investment in people's lives. I am going to leave a certain amount. And he went to a far country and delivered unto his servants his goods. Verse 15. Let's read a little bit. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, and to another 1 talent. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now here's where we already have a problem. We get mad because somebody has more than we have. We get upset because somebody has more talent than we have. Or they have more ability than we have. Or they have this and we don't have that. They have a nice house and I don't have. They had a great family coming up, but I don't have that. And listen to me, God is never going to be fair with you. God is never going to be fair with you and me. When I was growing up, It didn't matter how hard I tried. I couldn't make the grades Trent made. I could study. I could do everything. But I was not going to make straight A's. I was not going to make my first B in college. That was not going to happen. I made my first B in kindergarten. I just went ahead and got that off the shelf real quick and just said, let's just go ahead and be real. We were fighting for D's and C's and occasional a B. If I walked in with a report card that had a B on it, I was like, look, Mom. Now, that's not giving you the right to waste your intelligence. I'm just telling you that God just didn't bless me with that. He just didn't give me that. I wish He had, but then again, I wouldn't be who I am today. He said, Tim, I've given an investment into you with specific gifts and specific abilities and a certain personality and a certain attitude and a certain way of doing things. And somebody may say, well, I can't do it like you, so I'm not. No, no. When God left, He said, I'm going to give to every servant a certain amount. And He may give one a bunch of stuff. He may give one just a few things. He may have given you just one thing you can do good. Just one talent, one ability, one thing that separates you from everybody else. When I was working, and it's the funnest part of pastoring, when I'm working with people, is finding that one or two or five things that they have. And I guess one of my favorite stories is Benita. Because when I met Benita and Stan, they were just coming out of the lifestyle they were in. God has saved them. And just, you know, and now they're coming out. And when they're coming out, it's still a mess. And I was running a snow cone stand then in town. And I didn't know what Benita's talents were. I didn't know what her abilities were. I just knew needed to help her. And she needed to get going. And so we said, look, at 10 o'clock in the morning, show up and we'll do this. We'll help. You can help me make the juices. You can help me do this. And she said, can we do it at 12:30? And I said, why 12:30? She said, I don't get up till 12. Now, this is Benita. So you don't know that. She said, I don't get up till 12. I said, you done missed half the day. And over the course of time, she started getting earlier and earlier. And this person that once would never have been allowed into certain businesses and certain things to do certain things because of her background, I found her talent. That woman is a clean freak. Now, you wouldn't have known that about her when you first met her. She is a clean freak. If you want anybody to clean behind you and make it better, she will find stuff you never thought of finding. She just laughs when I say, look, Benita, I've already cleaned the house. And Elise will say, look, I've got a party coming. I need to pay you to come clean it for this time. We want it to look good. And I'll look at her and say, look, it's not going to be that bad, Benita. I've done cleaned it, and it's not. About 4 o'clock that afternoon, half my furniture's outside, everything. And she said, it was a little worse than you said, Pastor. And from that, hospitals, clinics in town hire. From that, people in the community with some of the biggest houses around hire her. God has provided for her. Why? Because she found the talent that she was given. Now, Benita may never stand on this stage. Benita may never preach. Benita may never sing a special. Benita may, but you know what? She's as productive and as powerful as anybody you'll ever meet because she has found something that God has given her to do, an ability that she knows I do as good as anybody else. And I'm going to run with that talent. And you can spend the whole part of your life simply saying, I don't have what you have, or I didn't get as much as you got, or I wasn't blessed like you are. And if you have that attitude, you're going to be like the part of this story, but it's going to be the part you aren't going to like. Because the one that was given five, do with it what you can do. One of them was given two, do with it what you can do. One of them was given one talent, do with it what you can do. And this was the mindset. This is what God said. This is what He set up and said, okay, now from here, do with it what you can get done. I'm gone. I'm out of here. It's yours now. This is your money to invest. It's yours to do what you want to with. It's yours to make the most of it. But now understand, it's really all mine. And I'm going to come back one day and you're going to give an account for everything that you did with mine. One of the key things the enemy wants to do in your life is to make you think that it's yours. It's one of the first things he has to do. That's your car, your boat, your house. Oh no, it's just on loan. 80 years from now, somebody else will either be living in your house, somebody else will be driving your car, or somebody else will be doing whatever. Because it's just a loan. And these servants understood the master's coming back. And we're going to have to give an account. The one that had five, estimations when you say is given five talents, he was given approximately $1.9 million. Pretty good. He was made a millionaire. And he says, I want you to take this $1.9 million and I want you to do something with it. To the one that was given two talents, it's a little over $700,000. I want you to take this and I want you to find out what you can do with it. The one was given $300,000. Still not pretty bad in our day and time. I want you to see what you can do with it. The one that had five came back when the master returned and said, Lord, I have taken the five that you've given me and I have turned them into 10. The one that had two came to him and said, Lord, I've taken your two and I've turned them into 4. And notice what the father says. Notice what the master says. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, just a few minor little things. Now come into the kingdom. Now come in and receive beyond your expectation, beyond your wildest dreams, beyond anything you've ever imagined. Can I explain this to you? Everything that you're going through here, everything that's invested in you here, everything that you have here is only a test. It's not permanent. It's only a test. The marriage that you have is only a test. If you can't be faithful to somebody for 50 years, then how are you going to handle God's stuff for all eternity? If you can't be faithful to your kids for 18 or 20 years that you brought and asked for in this world, I want to have kids. I want to have this. And then bail on it. If you can't handle the investments that aren't really yours, then how in the world are you going to handle investments that are actually yours one day in eternity? This is only a test on this side. It's only a test to see if you'll quit, if you'll buckle, if you'll stop, if you'll whine, if you'll complain, if you'll grumble, if you'll say it's too hard, if you'll say it's too much, if it's too... I mean, it's not like you've got to do this for eternity. You've got a timeline. You're going to die. That's why they put that in your marriage contract. They give you an out. Will you be faithful? Yeah, I'll be faithful. Yeah, I'll do this. Yes, I'll do this. Yes. How long we got to do this? Till death do you part. Okay. Good. When I'm dead, I'm done, right? Yeah. See, I can dislike a lease. I can get frustrated with a lease all I want because I know this much. I'm out of this contract sooner or later. I'm out of this. She's out of this. She will not have to live in heaven. She will not have to deal with snoring. She will not have to. She's just under contract right now. I'm under contract right now. I have three kids. I'm under contract. I asked for them. God bless us and give us. And God said, bam. Why are you complaining now, Tim? You asked for it. You wanted it. Yeah, but Lord, I want it. No, 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 no. I left. I gave you, and I left. What part of investment don't you understand? I have given it to you, and I left. Why you keep sitting around? Lord, I sure wish you would help. That's your investment. Lord, I wish you would help me. That's your investment. You invested however you want to. That's why I get tired of people all the time. You know, we're not talking about your wife's investment. We're not talking about your husband's investment. I mean, that's why we try to push it off on other people. If we both make money in the family, the wife and the husband will get in a conversation, hey, we need to pay our tithes, we need to do this. And one of them will say, well, you pay yours, I'm just going to keep mine. No, it has to be your investment. You can't tag along with somebody else's investment. That's why when people talk about not being able to succeed and not being able to make it in life, I'm going to tell you something, that is totally ignorant. Because I can take a kid off a street. If you want to know how simple investment is, I can take a kid off the street with a 10th grade education. I can hook him up with a marijuana dealer. Somebody who's growing marijuana somewhere in one of these counties. 18, 15-year-old kid and got no education. I'm going to tell you how God built you. I can take him, hook him up with a guy who sells marijuana. He can buy a certain amount of marijuana and let's say he buys a garbage can load. This kid has enough peace of him and God to understand investment to this degree. With no education, with no ability, he has the ability to take that can, he has the ability to break it off into baggies, he has the ability to find different people in his life who can distribute for him, he has the ability to figure out how much he owes the main guy, because if he don't pay the main guy, he's going to get his legs broke. So he knows he's got to make a certain amount to pay him back, he's got to know he's got to make a certain amount to pay the runners, and he's got to have enough to make an investment for himself, so he's able to make baggies, sell that to 10 different people who brings him back the money, who he takes the money, pays his part, and he lives off the interest. Can I tell you, that's an uneducated person that in the middle of Forest, Mississippi is making a living. How come that same person can't go find some tennis shoes that were low discount, can't find some tennis shoes or something else, open a shoe store and have runners that sell for him? He buys them from somebody, sells the tennis shoes, pays his employees, and then all of a sudden lives off the profit. What's the difference? There is none. Every one of you has the ability to invest, the ability to do. It's the same business concept. It's the matter of receiving, investing, gaining a return. Kid down here at Oakdale understands that. And you're sitting here telling me you can't figure it out? Don't play me stupid. You just don't like investing. You don't like letting go and taking the risk of the possibility of gaining. But God says, listen, this is the type of person I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody I can give five, and they don't live off the five. Don't even get me here. Because here's why some of us fail at our business, whatever it is we go at. We want the look of it before we actually have it. We want to open five convenience stores instead of just manage one long enough where we actually know how to do it, so then we can open the second one and the third one and the fourth one. We want to wear the suit before we have any income coming in. In life, you need to understand, it may be a while before you get to wear the suit. Whether it's ministry or anything else I run into, this is what the biggest dilemma I run into. They want to wear the suit, but the problem is they have no concept into how to run the store. Pastor, I want you to mentor me. All right, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to do this, this. I don't know about that. Oh, but that's what you have to do. Here's a mop. Go out there today. You want to see Pastor Lott? I'll be cleaning that church. You know why? Because that's the job at hand that needs to be done. And don't worry, I'll probably be the same guy they'll invite to preach on the stage one day. But the fact is, I've been the guy that cleans the toilets. I've been the guy that from the time we started in the little building, me and Gene would show up early to the old building because it had a crack in the door about that far. And leaves would blow in. So every Sunday before church, I'd hook up the weed blower, leaf blower, and we'd sit there in the middle of our sanctuary and blow leaves back out the outside. That was a normal routine on a Sunday morning. There's a lot of people who want to show up to preach. A lot of people want to show up to sing. That's why you don't have bigger song groups. And you know why? Because half the people that can sing ain't showing up for practice. If they would just show up for Sunday and get on the stage and sing, they'd be more than happy. I just don't have time to practice. I don't have time. Well, then you know what? You ain't got time. It doesn't start from there. It starts from the investment. It starts from finding out that, hey, I can handle, God, what you're going to put in my hands. I can handle this. And notice the last one. All of a sudden, he comes along. And he already has an attitude. He comes to the Lord and he says, here's your one back. And he's like, my one back? And it's got dirt all over it. Yeah, I had it buried. I know how you are. You're a man that reaps where you don't sow. You're a hard man. You are a tough master. Notice his attitude toward giving already, toward God. When you hear people complaining about, I ain't giving that church. Understand, this is somebody that literally will bury everything in their life and complain that it won't produce. They'll be mad at their wife because their marriage ain't any better when they haven't done anything to make it better. They're going to complain about their kids when they don't spend 5 hours a week time with them and doing anything with them. They're going to complain about everything in their life, but they have no investment in any of it. They are master complainers, but illiterate in their doings and wonder why their life is the way it is. God is a God of investments. He is an investing God. God, before you were born, invested in you. Before you were born, God looked down into your mom's womb. And this is what He says. I knew you before you were formed, before you were fashioned, and I ordained you to be who you are before you ever breathed your first breath. I already made an investment in you. I already created you a certain way. I already designed you a certain way. I already made you with certain gifts and certain abilities. I already gave you that. And this servant who takes what God has given him and says, I don't like it. I didn't get as much as so-and-so. I didn't, and I'm scared. You notice this becomes the mindset. I am afraid. When I think about that Storage Wars show I saw that day, I thought, if that guy would have just brought $5,000 more. Did he have it? Yeah, he owned a business. He just had to go to the bank. And when he went to the bank that morning and said, look, I need to get some cash. How much you need? Let's just take about $13,000. I'm not going to spend no more than that. I'm just not going to do it. He already determined how high he would be able to go. He already determined how high he would be able to go. The difference was not in anything other than one man decided, whatever it takes, I'm willing to make the investment. This is the way it works in life. This is how God wants you to have the mindset of dealing with your money, dealing with your life, dealing with your finances. Three things. And let's go with me to Matthew 25 and 29, and let me show you something that'll make you even madder. It's going to really upset you. Matthew 25 and 28 says, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had... Doesn't nothing work out good for me. Well, you know what you're going to find out next? Everything works out good for me. That becomes the next statement. Pastor Law, he don't have no problems. Pastor Law, I mean, he just blessed on every side. But understand this, a lot of those blessings were yours. You just didn't want them. You never wanted to have them. Trent pulled one on me this last few years ago. I've been looking at that one building. It used to be a jewelry store for years. And then it became a medical storage. You don't think I used to drive to that place knowing exactly what it had become next. It's a medical, and I drive by it every time to tell Elise, that is the snow cone. That is like heaven for a snow cone stand. I said, it's got a drive-through window. It's got everything. I mean, a glass front window. I mean, somebody who has any thought at all would just go get that and could turn that into a coffee shop in the wintertime if they wanted to. They could do whatever they wanted to with that building. Lisa was like, you got enough stuff. I didn't invest. Shortly after that, I hear, "Hey, somebody got that building up there." "Who got that building?" "Trent." "Trent? Yeah. Callie and Cam's." How many snow cone stands you ever drove by and thought, "I could do that"? It's not a big investment. It was just the fact that somebody was willing to make it. That which could have been yours will be taken away. You know what makes impoverished communities? Do you know where they come from? It's not from lack of money. Because of our government now, it's not a lack of money that makes an impoverished community. If you say, "Hey, Forest is just an impoverished community," well, I can tell you why that happens. It means that all the investors have to come from outside to the inside. That's all it means. Let's say the government gives Forest Community $1 billion a year through grants, through money we make, through all. Let's say $1 billion comes into Forest, but all the businesses, the KFC is owned by a sub-distributor from outside. He's from Meridian. Let's say the Popeyes was, the investors from there are from Jackson. The Penn's is from Jackson. All the businesses in town, the clothing stores are all from out of town. They don't live in Forest. They just built a business in Forest. And now the grocery stores, they don't live in Forest. They just simply, Walmart, their investors aren't from here. So what happens is, every time you buy something, where does the money go? It goes out. So an impoverished community becomes simply a community where nobody inside that community is making the investment. They're only spending what they have. And we get mad if somebody actually builds a business or if somebody actually makes an investment. "Well, all they are is rich. They just got money in." No, they just made an investment. A snow cone stand. Wow. But when you go in there and pay $2 for your snow cone and Trent's sitting there smiling, shaving that ice, don't feel bad for Trent. If somebody has a lemonade stand and you're paying $2 a day and complaining about, "Man, I'll tell you what, I wish you wouldn't go up on this lemonade. Let me tell you something, go plant you a lemon tree. Go buy you a bag of sugar. Make your own investment and make your own lemonade and sell it to your next door neighbors." I know this is just way over y'all's head, ain't it? This is. This is beyond your thinking. Just look at the person beside you. I ain't got the foggiest idea what he's talking about. Just tell him. "I just want to go eat at McDonald's today. That's all I want to do. I just want to get out of here and go eat." In your life, you've got to find where you're going to make investments, where you're going to make an investment, whether it's your life or whether you're... People get mad about all seasons. Y'all, that church. Yeah, we are. Can I tell you why? It's because we've made investments. When you go to some churches and you wonder where all their money goes, and it's sitting in a CD account because 80-year-old people on the board won't spend a dime to help their kids or paint a classroom or send them anywhere or do anything, you just know that when you give it to there, that's your investment. You just put it in a pot that'll never get spent. Walk back there to that gym today. They're going to learn how to make Mexican cornbread. They're going to do all we got. We bring in musicians. We hire them to teach them choir and teach them how to sing. I want to tell you something. We make investments. So it's not dumb for somebody to say, "You know what? I want my family to be connected with somebody who's making an investment. If I've got to bring my kids and get them up at 10 o'clock in the morning and bring them anywhere, I want to bring them somewhere where next week they're singing a Christian song. They're walking through the house talking about they want to go back to church. That's what I want to see. I'm not worried about just simply having something that's just a deep hold." Oh, and that money thing, that's an investment too. I pastor one of the larger churches. But I promise you, I'm not even in the top anything in pay. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because it's an investment. I make investments just like you make an investment. We all make an investment. That's why buildings can get built. And people say, how in the world can y'all afford to build it? Because we're all making investments. And when more people come, it'll make you mad again. I can't see why them people coming into that church. Because we made an investment. It's not complicated, guys. God is an investor. And when He gives you something, He says, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to eat it? Are you going to destroy it? Are you just going to give it away? You don't complain if you spend it on a hooker. You don't complain if you spend it on dope. You don't complain if you bought cigarettes. You don't complain if you wasted it on cable television. But all of a sudden, when you got to invest in God, all they want is my money. Tell Dish Satellite that. Call them next week and say, I ain't paying you another dime for this satellite. All you want is my money. And watch how quick they turn you off. And watch how quick you start whining. We got to get it back on. I can't go live around here without something to watch. You know why? Because you made an investment. What happens is we get to the point where we say, I can't handle it. I can't handle this anymore, brother. The stress of having to deal with investments. Because that's it. When you start investing, it's stressful. When we started this project over here 5 years ago, I had brown hair. I mean, all brown hair. I earned this. I didn't have to pay a dollar to not one hairdresser. Even my beard went white. I mean, it's just like, man, my dad's got darker hair than I do. So it's not hereditary. It's just, but understand, when I look at God and I say, God, I can't handle it. I don't want no more. Here's what I'm saying. Don't bless me no more. So you don't see it that way. But when you tell God, no more. I can't handle no more. I can't handle these kids no more. I can't bless you no more. I can't handle this job anymore, God. This job's driving me crazy. Then I can't bless you no more. Because this job is designed to be your blessing. You're either going to be those who do things or those who talk about them. It's going to be your life. You're either going to talk about things or you're going to be a doer of things. Let me hurry. Number one, the first thing I want you to understand this morning is simply this, is that what you have right now in your life is a starter blessing. Look at the person beside you and say, everything you have right now is a starter blessing. That's all it is. And I'll prove it to you this way. If you had to live where you are at the state you're in for the rest of your life, would you be content to die like you are right now? No. Then what you have is a starter blessing. No, brother, Lord, I want to do more. I want my kids to be more. I want whatever it is, I've got a start on whatever it is in my life. And young people, listen to me very carefully in this part right here. When we talk about a starter blessing, here's what I want you to know. It is your gift that makes you room, that makes room for you. It is your gift that you find in you, and it will cause you to lose the low self-esteem that you have in your life. Let me see if I can put that in other words. That starter blessing in you, that peace that God has put, is the gift inside of you that makes you room. It gives you room in your life. In my life, I was a hard worker. That's what I brought to the table. Now, when they saw me at the grocery store and they said, hey, this kid's a hard worker, they didn't hire me as a manager. When they saw me as a hard worker, they didn't hire me for produce. They didn't hire me as frozen food manager. They didn't hire me for anything. They didn't even let me go to the meat department. They hired me and said, hey, this kid is a hard worker. Good, let him go push buggies. And that's what I did. I'd push buggies. I'd come in, bag groceries. I would smile. I would do my starter gift. Some of you ain't got no brains, but you got a good back. You better use that good back to gain you access to somebody who's got better brains. What do you say? How do you think I married her? We at least have a lot of fun. Because I started on a different track. I was working for a living. Elise was on a different track. She had brains. She was going to college, Mississippi State, and all that kind of stuff. Well, I was working at the grocery store. I was frozen food manager. I was all this. Then worked my way up after 4 or 5 years. I was in, you know, this. And after 5 or 7, 6 or 7 years, I was assistant managers. And I wasn't making no great income, but Elise came out of college, and it was so funny because she had this mindset. I'm coming out of college. I have a 4-year degree, and I got... And she went and got her first job. And she didn't make as much as I did. And that just floored her. And I told her, and I was trying to be as nice as I said, baby, they don't know if you can work or not. I mean, that's the honest truth. See, I had used my back for 7 years to prove to those around me Tim can handle the work. He may not be the brightest. He may not be educated, but I'm going to tell you something. He can outwork every educated person we ever put in front of him. Now, when you've got education and you will work, now you are dangerous. If you go get your schooling and you're a hard worker, I'm going to tell you something. There is no limit to what you can do with your life. And in life, it's going to work this way. Whatever it is you have right now, that is your starter blessing. If you got brains, don't waste your brains. Don't hang around people that are dumb. Don't hang around people that flunk out of school. You find you some smart kids, and you find you some kids that are smarter than you, that like to study and push you in studying, and you take that to the highest level you simply can. If you're the smartest kid in the room, you're in the wrong room. You need to keep moving up and putting yourself in places where you know what? Man, you study. Show me how you do all your organizing and studying and take your brains up to another level. If you're a worker, then hook yourself up with somebody who maybe didn't have all the education, maybe didn't have all that, maybe they just built their own business, maybe they've done it this way and had to work hard. You hook up with them and find out what it took, what type of mindset you got to have to work, to go uphill, to keep getting up every day, and to work from nothing to something and keep moving up. You find you somebody to keep learning from. Listen, there's no excuse to not make it. I don't understand that concept. Because, understand now, McDonald's doesn't scare me. I'll never be a day in my life without money. Not a day in my life will I never be without money. Now, it don't mean I'm going to have the same amount of money. Because I've started off where $70 a week was my money. And at breaks, I would buy the 25-cent cans of Coke, 25-cent can of potted meat, and get the crackers for free out of the deli. And that was my meal. So I may not have had the steak and may not have had all that, but I was going to make it. I may have had just $2 instead of $200, but I had money. And as long as there's a help wanted sign at Walmart, a help wanted sign at McDonald's, as long as there's somewhere where somebody says, look, can you push a buggy? Can you do this? There'll always be a place for Tim Lott. This servant has a problem because instead of doing anything with what he's given, he buries it. You have to have a mindset that says, I will not bury what I've been given. Nobody else can do that for you, but you got to say, whatever I've been given, I am not going to bury it. I'm not going to lose it. I'm not going to... And let me just throw this in there. People who bury it, here's their number one thing. And if you're not a burier, watch out for this. People who are buriers of talent want to latch on to somebody they think will tote them along. Guys, listen to me. There are girls out there that will give you their bodies sleep with you, do anything they can, have a baby with you to get you to marry them because their expectancy is that you will take care of them. They are bringing nothing to the table. They're going to sit around, watch TV, and get fat. That's their goal in life. And have more babies if you'll let them. Is this straight enough? Girls, there are guys. They have no intention of working or becoming anything. Their idea of a date is coming over, sitting on your couch, eating your food, and messing around on you. They plan to do that for the next 30 years. So wonder or not whether you're going to like that. Because when you look at them and say, look, we ain't got food. Well, you need to get a job. I got to go play golf today. I got to go fishing. It's hunting season. You better be real careful. Because there's a lot of people that like to bury their gifts. And they don't want to do anything with it. You have to finally have the mindset, I'm not a copy. I'm an original. Once you can establish this, that I am gifted. Now, I've told you my gifts. They don't sound very like a whole bunch. But you know what? They're my gifts. They're my gifts. If you say, what does Pastor Lott bring to the table? Pastor Lott brings passion. He won't quit you. He don't stop. Can he quote the Bible? Can he just throw out scriptures left and right? No. If you want to find one, though, he'll find it for you. No problem. He's got books all over the place. He can find you whatever. Has he got stuff hanging on the wall and degrees and mortuary degrees and seminary degrees and other kind of degrees? No. No, that's not what he's going to bring to the table in your life. But if you want somebody that will be a friend, that won't quit you, that will preach the Word of God because that's all he's committed to. He's not trying to preach anything of his own. He's just got one book, that Bible, and that's all he can preach. That's it. If that's what you're wanting, then that's what you'll get. And in my 20 years here, it served me pretty well. Why? Because there's enough people to where, you know what? My giftedness made me what? It made me room. I've made room in people's lives because I need that kind of person in my life. I need that person in my life. Young people whose families are all busted up and they need a family figure. They need a father. They need somebody who's steady in their life. I can't tell you how many kids I hug at that back door on a weekly basis that come up and just latch onto my leg. Why? Because Pastor Lott will be there. If nobody else in my family sticks it out, if my mom, my dad don't make it, if my uncles and cousins and my grandma kicks me out, you know what? Pastor Lott ain't going nowhere. He's going to be here with me. There, I made room in my life, not because of my brains or my intelligence or all the other gifts that God didn't give me, but I made room because of this. But here's the thing. As I was making room for this, God said, Tim, I will add to your gifts other gifts, and I'll give you gifts that you didn't start out with, and now there's gifts that you have that you didn't even know. Ain't it funny how when we started out doing a certain thing, how does that work, Brother Lott? Well, let me show it to you this way. When I was 12 years old, I started putt-wooding. It's the first job I ever had. My dad would let me go spend the night over at people's houses. I'd sleep it there on their couch. I'd get up at 5:30 that morning. My job was to hold the stick. If you ever put wood, you know what I'm talking about. You cut one stick that was exact length. Your job was to hold the stick while the guy did the chainsaw. He cut them. And once they did all the cutting, then we'd lay the stick down and we all started lifting logs and toting logs and getting them out. We'd make two cords. We had a trailer plus a truck. We had to fill each time. It was $60-something and we'd paid the gas, we both split about $25 a piece for about 3 days' work. I thought I was making money. I thought it was pretty good until I went to camp. Went to youth camp and had a baseball bat. And by then, I was strong, boy. Only problem was I didn't realize at 12, 13 years old all the damage it was doing. And I swung that bat one time at a ball and hit it, and my back locked up. I spent the next 4 days in the medical center, in a youth camp, with them rubbing icy hot on my back. I couldn't do anything. I thought, well, this job's got to be traded up. I went from that to working with my uncle. My uncle would pick me up from school. He'd say, Tim, what time is your last class? Well, about 2:30, I can leave. He would pick me up. I'd work till 11 o'clock a lot of nights, holding lamps, learning how to weld. He was an electrician. He was there. So I learned how to wire. I learned how to do all that kind of stuff. And you say, well, what good is all that? Eventually went to the grocery store, learned that, learned business, learned all this stuff. What good is all that? Well, when I moved to Forest, Mississippi, I had no idea that one day I'd have to be the one that would do most of the wiring in this building. Didn't have Duran in. Didn't have all the other people that. I was a bottle washer, Sunday school teacher, electrician, plumber. That's right, I fixed all the plumbing. And I'm going to tell you something, that's why it's difficult for me now. Because now we have a lot of people that can do things and at least gets on to me all the time. She's like, look, let them do that. And I'm like, but they've got to do it this morning, they've got to do it. Because here's the thing. I am good at all those things. Not because I was born good at all those things. It's because I've spent my life learning one thing after another thing after another thing. What have you added to your life in the last 6 months that you didn't know? What are you better at today than you were yesterday? In your life, listen to me, it is taking the talents that's been given to you and adding to those talents. I know we live in a different age. I get frustrated with this age a lot. I don't understand people that don't work hard. I just can't grasp that. I have two little motorcycles that's sitting in my shed right now, my kids. If me and Trent had had two little motorcycles sitting in our shed, we would have figured out how to get them to run. You couldn't have held us out of those sheds. We would have had them took apart, fixed, welded, whatever we had to do. I drive by yards and see bicycles laying over in the yards and this. And as long as they'll run. But the idea of me learning, investing. Guys, if I can tell you one thing this morning, I know I've got to go. Learn to take what gifts God has given you, invest them as fast and as importantly and as imperatively as you can. The second thing I would say is this. Everything that you have been given is not all God wants you to have. But it is the investment with a hope that you may profit. What God has given you right now is not all you can have. It's just a small investment God's put, and He's saying, I've given you enough to get started. And when you master one, God will always take you to another. Psalms 1:1-6, and I'm going to close reading this. I wish I had a lot of time, but I don't. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Now, what really, if we had to look at that, what kind of person is that? Do they do a lot of stuff? Or are they pretty lazy? Pretty lazy people, right? Let's just say, let's just mark it out and say, don't be lazy. Don't be a criticizing, lazy, sit, hang out with no goods type person. Why? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. So he's learning a way to live, which I'm trying to teach you today. God is an investor, He looks for investors. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in what? In his season. That's why we called this church All Seasons. It took me a long time to figure out why God kept throwing that in my face. All seasons. All seasons. God said, look at your life, Tim. In due season. Some seasons are planting. Some seasons are hoeing. But some seasons are reaping. In due season, his leaf also shall never wither. And I love this. And whatsoever he... Don't let that slip by you. Whatsoever he does. If you're not doing, then there is no prospering. I'm not trying to get theological. I'm just reading the Scripture. You can have leaves, you can have fruits, you can have all this, but I'm going to tell you something. If you don't do, then the prospering part of your life will never take place. Verse 4. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Does that sound like that one guy who had the talent? It's just another way of telling the story. For the Lord knoweth the way. Got to be a doer. And God says, I know His way. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. Guys, I don't want this year or any year to be a year that's not your best year. Some people would look and say, boy, the last several years at All Seasons have been, it's been rough years. Pastor, your hair done turned gray and you didn't, it's been definitely a different season. We all like the seasons where we're just picking. We open the doors and new people walk in and we see that still. But I knew when we started this process that there was a season we had to go through. There was a season of building, a season of dealing with banks, a season of praying and fasting and crying, a season that me and Elise's marriage would be stretched, my relationship with my kids stretched. I've got more to-do list than I got time. But here's the key. In due season. In due season. Come March 2nd, I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach. I told somebody last night, they said, what are you going to do that first Sunday? I said, I may just lay on the floor in a little ball and cry. I know that sounds crazy. I said, but I'm going to tell you something. Unless you've been through something, it's like the parent who sits there and watches that kid that you fought for 8 years walk across that stage and get that diploma. Don't nobody know how you feel. Nobody knows how you feel. That man who's worked on that vehicle and worked on it and totally done it and then cranks it up that one time. You don't realize why he wants to just sit in that truck and just listen to it run. Because you don't know the time and the effort and the knuckles. There's a season. And what I want more than anything else is I can't keep you from an investing season. I can't stop you from having to go through a tough season. But I urge you because I want to see you walk into that picking season. And I hope with all of my heart that this will be the best year of your life. But it will happen because you are an investor. You will be able to look at God and say, God, I'm invested. I've given my life. I've given my time. I've given my energy. God even makes it simple for us. He says, doing all you know to do, ask whatever you will. doing all you know to do. Will you bow your heads? Father, I hope with all of my heart that they understand what I'm saying. There's a spiritual side to what we do, and there's a worship side and a singing side, and Lord, there's a joy and a happiness that we just hug necks, and those are all good. But God, for some people in this room, their life will never change for what they want it to be until they get to be an investor. This year, they're going to have to invest time and energy and finances. They're going to have to invest in the things that you've called them to, into the things that you want them to be. I want to stand there one day. I want to stand there and watch them receive. I want to see their smile. I want to see the joy. I want to see it. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.